It is a great honour to welcome you to Show Me the Podcast, an entertainment podcast brought to you by two often opposing in opinion, great friends of a decade past. For this particular episode's festivities, I, being Harriet of the Forest View, will be joined over the airwaves by my long-standing co-host, Lorraine Purden of Bath.
Hello.
How are you today?
Well, thank you.
Continue.
And we will endeavour to discuss with great fervour the moving picture adaptation of Jane Austen's classic Sense and Sensibility. Come, join us in this most merry audio adventure together and we'll have oneself a marvellous time. Oh, I didn't make it to the end. yeah, Regency speak, innit? As I said.
This sounds utterly delightful.
Yes, you would do the whole episode like this.
Indeed, one does enjoy a chin whack during isolation.
Yes, one does.
So I'd like to go on by saying hello and welcome to Show Me the Podcast. It's an entertainment podcast hosted by two chalk and cheese best mates. I am your host, Lorraine, and of course I am joined by my co-host of Forest View, Harriet.
What up?
Yeah, I don't think we could keep that going the whole way through. So yeah, if you haven't gathered by Harry's amazing posh accent, thanks, we are talking Sense and Sensibility.
I actually think that was a bit Dolores Umbridge, and I'm not happy about that. Yeah,
what, your intro. It's fine. Sure, she's
she
in
is.
It.
Yep, Imelda Staunton, big up.
Yeah.
So
cool. So before we get into that and go back to our normal accents. What have you been up to,
I
Harry?
Love you, but I wouldn't call your accent normal.
I actually, lately, listening to myself, I don't think I have an accent anymore. I think
it's gone. You do, but it is definitely settled into a west, southwest sort of.
Yeah, but it's not strong southwest anymore. It's not
it was just a mixture of Irish and southwest, and you had a twinge of American in there as well. But yeah, you settled into mild southwest. Bit posh though.
Yes. Bit posh. Yeah. So very fitting for this episode.
What have you been up to then since our last recording?
I've been playing with Riley. I've been working. And I started a workout program 2 weeks ago, so I've been doing that. It's ballet based.
That's what your text was about. Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to be funny, and I was like, I don't get it.
No, I do the Beachbody on demand thing, they bring out these new workouts, and this one's called Bar Blend, and it's like this ballet based one, but it's also a lot of other exercises. But bloody hell, I thought this would be nice.
No,
it is nice, but
ballet's intense,
hell.
Man.
This is really intense. Yeah. I'm, of course, as elegant as a ballerina.
I'm sure.
I just say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man, you are. But I have to, you're very dedicated to, when you're like, I'm going to do something, you do it. And you're like that with fitness, and I get very jealous of your motivation. So.
But Harry, I'll be honest with you. If I was your size, I wouldn't do it because you're teeny tiny. I have to do it. Otherwise, I would be like fucking Lardass from Stand By Me. Chow down, wide load. Do you know what I mean? That's what my brother used to call me. He used to go, chow down, wide load. Hey, there's Lardass. Yeah. And that was when I was smaller than I am now. That was when I was a lot smaller.
That's mean. Oh, Emmett.
Yeah, but do you know what? Like, you would never call anyone names like that, but he's the only person that gets away with it.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only person that can get away with it.
I'll tell you what, if my brother said that to me, he'd get a dead arm.
Oh, don't get me wrong. He got shouted at, but he's the only one that doesn't upset me when he says it. Not that other people say it, but like, you know, your brother.
Yeah,
they're supposed to be idiots. Yeah. True. So yeah, but yeah, I once I get into them, I'm proper going for it. So by the end of isolation, I'm going to be a fucking supermodel, man. Why are you laughing? I could be Cindy Crawford. I got brown hair.
No, I remember when you did your last one and you were looking fine. So yeah, and you still look fine.
And then I put it all back. But I put it all back on over Christmas.
Well, I haven't seen that happen. So
Anyway, what about you, apart from not working out, have you been doing?
I haven't been like working out like fucking hit or anything, but I have been I've been doing a lot of walking, and I've actually lost a bit of weight myself just doing that, and I'm not eating crap either, which is weird for me. Honestly, office life with all these bake-offs and stuff we do in our office, I was piling on the pounds. But since working at home, my diet's restricted to what it used to be, and I've been doing loads of walking, so yeah, I'm all right, actually. And we've been playing a lot on my lunch breaks, because Alex obviously around, because he's not able to work right now. So
playing
playing games together. So we've been doing bowls on the front lawn.
Oh yeah. And the tightrope
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Slacklining,
so
yeah.
That's been one nice thing that's been going on. So yeah.
Still together.
We are still together. Yeah, haven't argued yet, touch wood. So that's good.
Yeah, me neither.
I said
it's all good now. It's all good now. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Sorry, if I keep pulling a funny face because we're doing this through Skype, it's because I've got something in my mouth and I can't get rid of it. I think it's like a hair or something.
Is it your tongue?
Okay, then. So, what have you watched recently?
Do you know what? Again, since doing these weekly, I've been finding it quite difficult, especially over the last couple of weeks, because, like I said, our days are a bit longer now with being at home. But so, I was really craving horror film, but I couldn't think what to watch. So I went for documentaries on world's worst serial killers. So I watched a few of those. And
I didn't say anything.
I see the face. But I've been listening. Like, I know a lot of people are saying since this all happened, because a lot of people listen to podcasts on their commutes. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts.
Really?
You know, yeah. So that's what I was listening to. More Supernatural, Crime Junkie, Last Podcast on the Left. Sorry, You're My Seat Guys. So yeah, there's been quite a few. And I've started, because I'm trying to be more like self-care and mindset. I've been reading stuff on that, and I've started rereading, well, where I left off the Practical Magic book.
Yeah.
You get me. So. So yeah, I'm trying to read again before I go to bed.
Yeah, I struggle to go to sleep without reading. So.
No, it really helps. And plus, I've been like, I did this thing one of the days last week. I was just having one of those days where I didn't want to talk to anybody. So I just literally put my phone down at around 12:30, and I didn't really even pick it up until the next day. And it was so nice.
Yeah.
So like, I've started kind of doing that again, where my phone, you know, I've been putting my phone away. So rather than getting into bed and scrolling, I thought, why don't I read something? So
I purposefully plugged my phone in on the other side of the room these days. And that's, made my mental health a bit better and going to sleep and stuff. So,
well, I've ordered an alarm clock so that me and Dev don't have to even have our phones in the bedroom.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought I'd do that because he's always on it as well. Like, it's just too easy, isn't it? It's too easy just to grab it, like, you know. And what you're doing, scrolling through fucking shit, like, you know. Yeah. So yeah, they're going to be out of the room once the alarm clock comes.
So, what mindset stuff have you been reading?
Well, I got a what I'm reading at the moment is I got the 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma, which I started reading it, but I'm starting again to read it. And I bought a diary called The 6 Minute.
Oh, I saw your thing on that.
Something diary. 6 Minute something diary. I can't remember. But at the beginning of it, there's like loads of stuff to read about the psychology of mindset and positive thinking, all that kind of stuff. Cool. So yeah, I'm working on all of that. I'm kind of using this time as time to kind of like improve myself physically and mentally.
I think that's a good way of approaching the situation, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I was listening, because I do listen to the Mimi B podcast quite a lot, and she talks about that, and she kept on going on. She goes, look, use this time to, you know, write what you wanted to write, to start a podcast, to work on your health set and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's a good way of doing it. I like that we're doing, because usually when we do these episodes from each other, you know, when we're not together, we do them on a weekday, don't we? Because we're always off doing stuff at weekends if we're not together. But I like that we're doing this on a Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night virtual pub club.
Yeah.
Except you're not drinking after this one, so.
No, only for a couple of weeks. Only for two. Only next Saturday. I'll have a drink the following Saturday. I just need a little detox and sort myself out to get back on track. Yeah. Sorry. What have you watched?
Do you know, I think it was last week, I saw an article about how there's been a spike in people watching dystopian films and stuff. And I'm like, I said to myself, yeah.
Really?
And I was just like, why are people doing this? And then on Amazon Prime, I saw that the Hunger Games were like on, you know, the Prime thing. And I was just like, oh, actually, yeah, I'll give it a go. So I've worked my way through the whole movie series, and then I've just been like, actually, I don't mind rereading this. So started reading them again, and then so I've watched those. I watched Knives Out, the Rian Johnson movie with the all-star cast.
Yeah, I want to see that. Yeah, any good?
Yeah, it's I think it just fell victim to, there was a massive hype and I didn't get to see it, and then you kind of like, oh, I'm not too sure what the hype was about, but it was fine, you know.
I think it's what you said in our Tom Cruise episode, our last episode, was how everyone had hyped up Jerry Maguire, so you were like worried almost, oh god, but luckily that worked out. But I think that's what, because I've heard so much about this film being like hyped up, I'm kind of a bit the same as you. I'm like, is it going to be that? I went to watch it last night, actually, and I was like, no, I can't
be.
No.
To be fair to it, I think it's great in that it's sort of got this sort of nostalgia back to, you know, the whole Miss Marple Poirot, but, you know, murder mystery thing. But, and the acting is great in it, but the mystery itself is a bit like, it fell a bit flat for me. But no, it's fine. It's fine for like a nice sort of movie to watch. And I've been watching, I've raced through it actually. I'm on season two already in like 2 days of The 100.
Is that good? Because I've been thinking about that.
I'm sorry, I keep coughing. I like it. I liked it when it first came out. So I watched the first season when it first came out, and then I didn't quite get into season two, so I'm really going to try and focus on season two now. But even though it's predominantly focused on sort of like 18 year olds, they're not 18 year olds in the strictest sense. It's quite a mature story, and it's quite graphic and violent in some bits, but I think it's interesting. I think it's a really interesting concept. So yeah, out of my three things, I'd recommend that.
Okay, so now on to the main section of the movie.
Sorry, that was my excited.
That's so 1811 of you. Sense and Sensibility is a 1995 period drama directed by Ang Lee. Or And Lee, Harry likes to call him, and is based on the Jane Austen novel of the same name, written in 1811. The screenplay was written by Emma Thompson, who also stars as Eleanor Dashwood, the eldest of three daughters who are made destitute upon the death of their father, whose fortune, by law, automatically goes to his son from a previous marriage.
Bullshit.
From there... Let me tell you about Guernsey. From there, the Dashwood women encounter a collection of men who play with their heartstrings, causing the women to consider their opinions of love and the status within society. This movie is a much beloved adaptation and gave rise to a resurgence of Austen adaptations that followed, including Pride and Prejudice, Emma, and more. This movie gained 7 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture, and also earned Emma Thompson, who also wrote the screenplay, an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Ooh.
Boom. That's how they said it back,
motherfucker.
So why did you pick this one, Lorraine?
Oh, I love this
so
film.
So you've seen it before?
I'd seen it quite a few times, yeah. Not in a long time. But I always liked it. I know I give you a hard time about Atonement and an English patient, but I actually like, because I've seen Pride and Prejudice, and I do enjoy them. I think
there's I was going to say, The English Patient and The Atonement, they're World War II dramas. So, exactly. It's different kind of period drama. But it's probably why you don't like them.
No,
Do you know what? I thought we rarely do this type of film. I don't think we've ever done this type of film in the podcast. I don't think I have ever talked about this type of film in the podcast. So I just thought, you know, it'd just be a nice change. And when I sat down to watch it, I was like, oh, I'll put it on and I'll write some stuff about it as I'm putting it on. And I was just like, put it on. I was just like engrossed.
Oh.
I just love it. I really enjoy it. And it's just the cast as well. I mean, you can't go wrong. We've got a very young Kate Winslet in there, Emma Thompson, who's amazing, Hugh Grant, Greg Wise.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's some really good ones in there. What about you? What did you, because this is your first time, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I am into my period drama. And I like Regency period films as well, which is like this kind of thing as well. But I'd never seen it. I think, it was 1995 when it came out, so I was like 8, so... I wish I wasn't. I'm not that young. I don't think my parents ever watched this one. So obviously it wasn't sort of influenced. Yeah. And then I think I've just kind of. I'm not proud to admit this, but I think I just kind of stayed away from it because of the actors who were in it. Only because it. Well, they're all Harry Potter alumni.
Kate Winslet's not in Harry Potter.
No, she's not, thankfully.
Is Hugh Grant in Harry Potter?
Yeah. No. No, he's not. No, he's he not. Should have been. He's in Paddington 2.
Yeah. Or Alan Rickman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I think I just stayed away from it for certain reasons. Anyway, I watched it today and I was pleasantly surprised and I did enjoy it. I did have to get over those barriers of being like, he's talking like Snape, but he's not Snape. same with Emma Thompson. I love her. I think she's great.
You can't fault Emma Thompson.
No, and I was really pleasantly surprised that it's not a story that I... It's not the outcome of the story I thought it would be. It was more about something else. And I imagine we'll come onto that a bit later. So, yeah. Sorry, if you can hear that squeak, I borrowed someone's chair, so I stopped getting backache. And it's really squeaky.
Well, don't try and make more by jumping around on it.
Righto. Anyway. So, yes, what is it about this movie that you like so much?
Well, when I was... Because, again, it was like one of these things I'd seen a long time ago. And my feelings now would have been different than back then. But when I was watching it, I just kept thinking how intense they all were about their feelings, like especially Kate Winslet, do you know what I mean? Or how intense they were with withholding their feelings. And there was so much not being said that should have been said. I was literally at times I was there, would you just fucking spit it out?
Normally I love that in Regency movies. I love it in Emma, especially the recent adaptation. I think I talked to you about how it was all about... Because it's at the end of the day, Austin's stories are very much about the sexual tension between, you know, people. Because it's unsaid, but it's all in, like, their actions and their looks and stuff.
Yeah, and the looks. The looks.
Yeah. I have to admit, I didn't get that so much in this movie. But having other sort of Regency Austin adaptations. I mean, one of my notes was like, just fucking say it.
I think like it's me when I'm talking about people in here, I'm mainly talking about Emma Thompson and Hugh Grant. Do you know what I mean? When it came to especially Emma Thompson's character, and especially, you know, it's that line when she turns around and what she says to Kate Winslet about her heart being broken. Is that enough heartbreak for you or something? Because, you know, Kate Winslet literally spills it all out. Like, you know, there's no hiding what she feels whatsoever. But with Emma Thompson, it's just like the complete opposite. But it's written all over her face.
I thought that was, I can't remember the exact wording, but I thought that was really clever writing, probably from... Oh, well, I don't know if it was Austin's originally, but from Thompson's writing, in that she's just like to Marianne, Kate Winslet's character, you're not going to talk to me. And Marianne just says, well, there's nothing to say. I've said it all and you don't want to say it.
And I was just like, boom, that's such a good line. And that is exactly what this whole movie is about, summed up.
But it's such a, it's just, I know back in this particular era, you know, it was kind of the done thing, but it's all just such a strange concept to me of this need to find a husband. And like when, especially when Willoughby kind of came on the scene, this is Marianne's interest, Kate Winslet's interest, played by Greg Wise. And the way they all kind of like sit up in their chairs and they come in and they're all excited for him to come in. And it's like, you know, it's like, you know, when you're out in a nightclub and, you know, when you were single and you're with your mates and you're all single and this guy takes an interest and all your mates are like really rooting for you. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like that. Like, you know, it's just, it's so much, so much involvement. Sorry, Riley's talking in her sleep. Oh. It's just, it's so much involvement. It's so intense. And I just, I don't think I could have handled that type of way of meeting someone, because it was also so desperate to meet someone.
That was the I think you would have thought differently back in the day. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, no, exactly. But like, I just feel now, I just find.
Oh yeah, for sure. It pisses me off, to be honest, because it's all like about the patriarchy, isn't it? So I'm not one of those stick it to the man kind of women, but it's all like they even say at the beginning, you know, these women, my daughters, aren't going to inherit anything. And they're like basically saying, okay, unless you find a suitor, you're fucked, because you need to find a guy. And so they are, all these women are sort of engineered to think, oh yeah, suitor, woo, gotta you know, meerkat our way and get his attention. So yeah, it's kind of sad, really.
Yeah, because I think when you, especially Emma Thompson's character, she's such a strong individual. Like, can you imagine her at the helm of a business? Do you know what I mean? She'd fucking nail it. Like, do you know what I mean? And, you know, it's a sad thing about, I know it was the time, but it's a sad thing that, you know, your worth was, you know, by who you basically were married to, when these women showed such strong abilities that were they to be running the bank or running a shop or running something, a farm or something, they would have done a fucking amazing job. They would have nailed it. But they're women. So just sit in the corner by the fire and do some sewing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of sad, isn't it, that the women had to express their power in different ways. So, you know, for example, I think the actress is called Harriet Walters, who plays
the
sister-in-law
of the rich sister. Yeah,
she is manipulative, and she shows that she has power in that way. I mean, she gets her way the whole way through the film, and that's, I guess that's the way you had to do it back in the day.
Yeah, no, I suppose.
I say that, but then there's what's her name, the cousin. Or is it the auntie that they're staying with? I love her. She's the best one. She's hilarious.
Oh, when they're talking in the corner and she's like, what's going on over here? And like the way she runs up and runs. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine me seeing you in a corner talking up to Claire and me literally running to you and shouting it out from the rooftops? What are these two talking about? They look so engrossed. What could they possibly be saying?
You know, I just thought... Right.
No, sorry, but I just thought it was hilarious. And then what's her name, your one from Imogen, the one from Harry Potter, Imelda Staunton, the way she like jumps up as well. I really enjoyed that woman. I loved the gossiping and the fact that she had no shame to her gossiping. Like, she didn't even try to hide the fact that she was just gossiping.
She was just like, I am what I am, deal with it. And I loved that about her. And I loved the whole play that they did on the name beginning with F. And eventually when she says it, I'm just like, yeah, I love you. Even though at first it's quite bitchy and you're like, oh, but yeah. Her and her husband or her son? I couldn't figure that one out.
What,
no. You know when they first rock up at the cottage And they're like, oh, yes, welcome, blah, blah, blah. And they're having a laugh. Is he her son or her husband? I couldn't figure that one out.
I don't remember.
Oh well.
I thought it was her husband, the guy from All Creatures Great and Small.
I haven't seen that, but he's Fudge in, he's Cornelius Fudge in Harry Potter.
Yeah, no, I think they kind of like, I think they were needed though, because this film is quite tense and quite heartbreaking and sad. And I think they brought that kind of like comic like relief to situations. Do you know what I mean? So it kind of broke.
Austin always has those light relief characters in her books. The gossipy, you know, do-wellers and blah, blah, blah. I like those characters.
What did you think of the relationship between Marianne and, I can't remember his name, Alan Rickman's
Brandon,
character?
Colonel Brandon.
Brandon, yeah. It just felt very unnatural to me.
Yes, I agree. I didn't. To be honest, I'm just going to come right out with it. The whole romance in this movie fell flat for me.
For all of it,
yeah. I just didn't really feel it. Especially, and I can't blame the movie, but I think it's the age, the year that I'm coming at watching this for the first time. But Emma Thompson and Hugh Grant as romantic characters, I was just like, what? They're brother and sister in love, actually. This is wrong.
But see, when you said something, I can't remember what it was, but you said something earlier on, and I thought to myself, you were talking about Harry Potter, and I thought to myself, I watched this before Harry Potter. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think that you're right. Like, I didn't think that of Emma Thompson and Hugh Grant. I liked how she was like so kept everything so back, and how he kind of, in his Hugh Grant-esque way, was trying to fumble over his words to let her know he, at the end, he liked her. And I loved the way that she finally, you know, she gets that release and breaks down and starts crying hysterically. Like, do you know what I mean? And I liked them two together. But like I said, I knew them before.
Yeah, no, and I know that my gaze on this is massively unfair to it. And if it were any other like actors, and I love these actors individually and their different roles and other stuff, but I just don't know. I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel any of the romance. But to be honest, this is what I was alluding to earlier. For once in a period drama, it wasn't about the romance for me in this that made me love it so much. It was about the sister bond here. Like, they go through something, both of them. And I like Eleanor. I'm not a massive fan of Marianne, but I appreciate Marianne's frankness. But I suppose that's what the title's about, really. I haven't studied it, so I'm probably wrong. But Eleanor's the sense, and Marianne's the sensibility, and then they balance each other out at the end, and they're happy. So that's what I got from it, is their bond more than anything. I think when she's crying over Marianne's body, I was just like, yeah, I'm feeling this now. But in terms of the love, it's nice. But I didn't, and I was really glad that Colonel Brandon finally was married and happy and stuff, but still didn't feel the...
It didn't feel real. No, I agree.
As I said, especially at the end when you see Willoughby like looking down on them, I was thinking, if there were a sequel to this, he would be fucking shit up.
No, I agree, because I was actually just going to say about Marianne and Willoughby, like, he kind of, you know, she's very young in this, and he's that very dashing, handsome man who actually is married to Emma Thompson now. yeah, I thought that was funny, because she would have been probably with Kenneth Branagh at that time of this.
Yeah.
Because this was around Much Ado About Nothing time, wasn't it? Because that was 1994, and I think she was with him then.
They got married in 2003, so...
Who, Greg Wise and... Yeah. But so he had that whole dashing thing. But part of me felt with them two, like... this gorgeous man turns up who's rather charming, and she just goes straight for it. She's like suckered in straight away because of the whole you know, I want a husband type, or not I want, I am expected to have a husband type thing.
Well, I think she did fancy him though.
I think she did, but I just, it just felt so, it felt a bit
desperate.
Like, not desperate, like kind of like as if he was a school teacher and she was a pupil and she was obsessed with him. It felt a bit like that to me. Do you know what I mean? At the start. And then it kind of changed a bit, you know, when he cut her hair and I could see there was an interest too. That was a bit weird, yeah. And, you know, so that relationship felt very like chaotic and all over the shop, and it was too emotional. Nobody was taking a step back to actually think about what it was. It was too much about feelings. Do you know what I mean? Whereas with Emma Thompson and with Eleanor and Edward, while you could see a mile off that there was an interest there, they were respectful of what was going on in each other's lives. So like, obviously he was seeing the other woman and he didn't try anything. Like if this was a Hollywood movie today, Eleanor and Edward would have got it on. Do you know what I mean? Whereas with this, they wait until it's the right time, you know? So I like that. It's a very sensible way of doing things, you know? But I think with Marianne and Brandon, it did fall flat for me as well. Because, you know, when she wasn't well and you thought that she was going to die, how he was reacting, I don't know why, but I thought, that's too much. You're not a couple. Why are you banging yourself, falling up against the wall like that? Like, you know, this type of thing.
I didn't know much about this movie at all, other than it was directed by Ang Lee and it starred Emma Thompson and a few people. But I thought the whole way through that she was going to fall in love, that Eleanor was going to fall in love with Brandon. And then I was just like,
no, I never thought that.
I was like, oh. Because there were just things like the way she was being told by the aunt about his like tragic past and stuff. And I thought, she's becoming more sensitive to him. And then when he was just like, Edward can be like the clergyman or whatever in my parish. And then I thought she was going to go, yeah, you're a good man. You're hot. I'm into you. I thought that was how it was going to work out. And it didn't. And then I was kind of like, oh. I'm a bit perturbed that it didn't work out. Yeah, I genuinely thought that was the way it was going to go. I don't know why. But yeah.
No, I didn't.
That wouldn't be Eleanor.
But no, but then in a way it would, because she was doing, she wasn't messing with an engaged man, do you know what I mean? Like,
no, but to me, I feel like she would be, no, you were in love with my sister, so therefore, no, I don't want any complication with regards to my family. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think that would have worked, because he was too interested in Marianne for it to work.
Maybe in the sequel, things happen.
yeah, maybe. but What did you not? I just have to mention this. You know the younger sister.
I love her.
Isn't she basically Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire?
No, they have the same hair.
No. But the same playfulness, the same mischievousness. Do you know what I mean? There was, you know, you could, because like Kirsten Interview with a Vampire. That was at a time as well, you know, where women behaved in a certain manner. And I felt like that was kind of the playfulness of Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
it wasn't just the fucking hair. I'm deeper than that, Harry.
No. I see what you're saying, but I have to say she was my favourite at this whole film. I can't remember the exact dialogue as well, but like when she said in that. At the dining table, you know, Eleanor fancies a guy with a name beginning with F, and they're like, ooh, F. And then when they're on the drive home and the mom goes something along the lines of, if you can't think of anything to say that's worthwhile, basically shut the fuck up, just talk about the weather. And so then later on in the movie, the little girl like looks around, she goes, isn't the weather pleasant? Something that really made me laugh.
Do
Do you know when you were saying that, I just had a vision of their mother going, listen, just shut the fuck up.
Well, she is the mom in Bridget Jones, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, she is. Yeah.
And again, she's in Harry Potter as a nurse.
She is. I remember her in Harry Potter. Yeah. It's like the Brits are doing the rhymes and everything.
I did like the mother, though. I think she had a nice rapport with her kids. I did like the younger one. And talk about her playfulness and stuff. Yeah, I see the interview with the vampire kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I like the whole family. I felt that they could have done so much just as themselves without having to worry about the marriage thing. And I kept, I kept thinking as well, actually, of how the fuck are they going to marry off the young one? She would be a nightmare to try and get to marry. She's way too feisty for that era.
Yeah, for sure. Also, Marianne's quite feisty. It did make me laugh. And I know it was just the way of the times. And anybody who's lived in a massive house might feel the same. But the way they're like, oh, we're destitute. And they go to this lovely cottage. And yes! Like, with the best view. I was just like, shut up.
I agree. When they said that they were going to this cottage, I was like, oh no. And I was like, what? That's being poor.
Yeah, and they still have servants and stuff. I was just like,
I know. Behave. No, exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah, that made me laugh. Lovely setting, though. Really lovely setting.
Oh my God, the countryside. Mm. It was just gorgeous, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought, in terms of, because I've seen like Brokeback Mountain and things, but I hadn't seen any of his films prior to this. But
have you seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yes, I've seen that, but that was post.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, like so I don't know what his work was before, but I think Ang Lee sort of nails that. Well, to be fair, this was one of the sort of movies that sort of started off this whole Austin resurgence. So he probably laid the foundations for it, but I think he just nails that sort of era and that sort of drama very well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought he did. Because when you look at things like Crouching Tiger and Brokeback, yeah, he has a way.
He's got
a
tenderness, hasn't he?
Yeah, and funny enough, do you remember I was telling you about the films that me and Steve used to end up watching?
Yes.
Well, one of the film was called, it was by Ang Lee, it was called Lust and Caution.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a bit porny.
Really? Ang Lee?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was Googling him for this, I was like, that was a film that me and Steve watched.
Well, I know.
I know. No, I know what you mean. He's very, he's very soft in his way of doing things. Because if you look at Brokeback Mountain, that whole relationship is so, like, I almost think that I always say that a lot of stuff that Ang Lee does is almost like a dance. His films kind of play out like a dance. They're very delicate in how they approach things.
Yeah.
You know?
So that kind of Regency dance that is well known, you know, like you say, this film kind of plays out exactly like a complete sequence of that. Like, they're just touching, but they're not. They're not really saying what they're feeling, but it's all in the eyes. The whole film's like that. Yeah.
But that's what I say. Like, when I say to you, when we talk about films with, you know, the big, massive sex scenes, I don't give a shit about that because it's too fucking obvious. I prefer the whole will they, won't they thing. Do you know what I mean?
I like that stuff as a result.
No, but I don't feel like you need to see it.
I think it depends on the story.
No. I don't need all the gory details.
I'm not into porn, don't get me wrong.
And I'm not a prude. No, I'm not. It's not being a prude or anything. But I think the problem is with me, within a film, because I obviously know what it is and I know what it looks like and I've seen it a million times, I feel like it's wasting time on the screen and I could be seeing something better.
Yeah, it didn't tell you much.
No, it doesn't tell me anything.
I honestly have to say, if you love this movie, I think you should watch Emma, the latest, the autumn.
Oh, I know, I plan to. I think it's on Amazon.
It is. It's on £15. yeah, I think you should watch that movie because you get that in buckets and spades. Is that the phrase?
Yeah. Is it buckets and spades?
Yeah.
Do you know one thing actually when watching this that really fucking irritated me is the snobbiness and the rudeness. You know when they were at that party and Willoughby went over to the woman that he was now with?
The way she
And the way they turned around and looked them up and down. Man. Oh.
Yeah.
That's fucking... Oh, that's one thing I cannot tolerate is snobbiness.
No, I agree. Yeah, definitely. I thought that was a bit over-egged, to be fair. But yeah. We can understand why they ran away. I have to say, yeah. I have to say, what makes me laugh about these movies, period dramas, which again I love because it's the what we're both saying is that what we like about these things is that they allude to these feelings, they allude to like this underlying stuff. But what really kind of makes me laugh and I have to hold back is when they're like, oh, it's, you know, you've known him for 2 days. Do you love him? And it's just like, you want to go, no, I just fancy him. Like, well, they just don't have the equivalent back in the day.
Yes.
But Emma Thompson does say this in this movie. She goes, I like him. And I'm like, yeah. Like.
No, I agree. That, like, something I've always had a problem with is like, you know, that kind of, I mean, well, saying that, like, I know someone that met a guy and he went back to America the next day. She followed him to America 3 months. 3 months later, and that was back in the 90s. And they're still together to this day with kids.
That's nice.
Like, do you know what I mean? So yeah, there's elements of it that I'm like, well, if you feel it, you feel it. But at the same time, I'm like, really? It's been 5 minutes. Yeah. You know, but I think the romantic side of me wants to go, yes, of course she loves him. But I personally have never been that person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was single quite a lot and I met people, but I was never...
But I think, prior to my long-term relationship, you know, you meet people and you kind of, I think you do feel those, you could potentially feel those feelings, but then you allow yourself time to be like, come on now, wake up to the reality. You just kind of like them. Whereas probably back in the day, it's like, okay, let's get married. Let's do it. And you're like, fuck.
I feel like I was like that as a teenager. I remember liking boys as a teenager and thinking to myself, I actually remember thinking to myself, I'm never gonna ever like anyone like I like this person, and I would be distraught. And then 3 days later, I'd fancy someone else.
I was never like that.
No, I was in my teens. Over mainly two blokes I can remember. But the worst thing was, is one of them who I fancied through, this is when I moved to Ireland. At the end of it, he told me, because my mum and my dad were very young when they had us. So when I moved to Ireland and my parents looked really young, they thought they were my brother and sister.
Wow.
And I remember one of the guys saying to me, the reason I never liked you is because I fancied your mum. I was like, what? Yeah. But yeah, my parents, and yeah, they were in their 30s, you see, when we moved to Ireland, and they looked really young. Everyone thought they were in their 20s and they thought they were my siblings.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Fair play to your mum, that day.
Yeah, but think of that as a fucking burn. Like, yeah. I don't like you. Okay, that's fine. No, I like your mum.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Nice little story there. But yeah, God, good job she never went with him. He could have ended up being my stepdad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so overall, are you happy that you watched
this?
Yeah,
I am. Yeah, I have to share one little anecdote from watching it, because I had it on earlier today, and whilst I was sketching, and Alec walks in just as like Willoughby rocks up with his yellow painted carriage, and Alec was just like, man, I bet back in the day that was like having a Lamborghini. I thought, yeah, you're probably right.
God. Yeah.
But,
can
yeah.
Can imagine.
Yeah. No, I did like it. Yeah, I'll probably watch it again.
I would happily watch it again, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
That, what a turn of events. I'm like, I would happily watch a period drama again, and you're like, meh.
Yeah, I think I just need to get over my obstacles. My
what's going to happen next week? You could be like, well, I was watching the world's worst serial killers. Right.
Maybe you just don't know in these crazy days.
No, you don't know, don't know. Cool. So, yeah, that was, I'm really glad we watched that.
Yeah, it was a nice, gentle one to watch. I enjoyed that.
I'm looking forward to our next week.
What are we doing? Oh, yeah, I am too.
Jesus. Will we tell them so they can prepare themselves?
Yeah, might as well.
Well, Harry put on Instagram that she was watching Sliding Doors, and I love that film. So I was like, Harry, why don't we do Sliding Doors?
And we are going to do it.
Yeah, I get to watch it again.
Well, I just watched it. So.
I know. But do you know, I was thinking to us as I was like, Harry's going to be delighted because she's just watched it. So she doesn't have to worry about trying to watch it before.
Fit in plenty of the 100 in that time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Excellent.
Cool. So what are you going to, apart from Sliding Doors, what are you going to watch next or read or do what? Of?
What? Well, I'm obviously going to read some more of my practical magic.
My practical
Oh my God, but it's so falling apart.
I've read it about 5-6 times.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to lose
I'm
some
sorry.
Of it. I'm going to try, I might watch the new Terminator film because that's on Amazon Prime as well, to buy, yeah. And tomorrow night, me and Dev are watching, they've got 3 more episodes of The Mandalorian. We're going to sit and have a little binge of that. And then I am going to watch, if I get time this week, I'm going to watch I'm going to start at the beginning of the Star Wars films. And I'm going to work my way
so
through.
So you're going to start at the prequels. You're not going to start at A New Hope.
No.
I don't think you should do it that way. Oh, yeah. That's the first one.
I want to.
But it's not the first one. It's the fourth one. Yeah.
No, I know.
Good. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to watch. No, I'm not going to watch fucking. I don't even know what they are. Phantom Menace.
You're not watching those ones.
No, I am, but I'm not going to watch it first.
Yeah.
No. I'm doing it in order. I'm going to get a list, and I'm going to tick those lists off, and then we will one day talk about it.
So excited! I'm really excited about that.
Have you seen them all?
Why do you look at me like that? I love them, and I it's not very good film really. I don't think it's as bad as everyone says, but I remember going to the Phantom Menace to see the Phantom Menace at the cinema, and it was just it's one of the best cinematic experiences I've ever had. Especially that noise spoiler for the episode that we do is like when he's in this pod race and it goes, it's just the best noise. Oh, gives me shivers.
Okay, what are you gonna watch?
What am I gonna watch? Probably more of the 100. And there's a film, I think it's coming out soon on Netflix. Saw a trailer for it the other day called Love Wedding Repeat, and it just looks lovely. Just looks like a fun romantic comedy, and I'm like, yeah, I quite want to watch something like that right now. So yeah,
cool.
That's that. So take us to the outro.
Okay, so I want to say, first of all, thank you for listening. And you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Show Me the Podcast and Twitter as SMTPcast. And Harry, where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter as Tales of Peck. Oh, and I've got WordPress
and
as well.
Oh, yeah, you're on WordPress as well as Tales
of
Peck.
What about you?
I am on Instagram and Twitter as Lorraine Purvin.
Got it right. Yay.
I got it right this time. Got it right. And of course, please don't forget to go on to Apple and rate and review us. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, it would be well received because it just gets us up the rankings, gets us noticed, you know. Share the love, people. Share the love.
And also, don't forget, on the Anchor app, you can send us a voice message.
Could you say it with a little bit more, you know?
I'm going to pay someone to
do
it.
Don't pay anyone. They should be sending us in. Don't you want a feature on the podcast?
Yeah, send us in a voicemail about Sliding Doors and maybe we could like talk about it. Because that's our next
episode. Ooh, yeah. Do it. Yeah. You can also email us at showmethepodcast@gmail.com. Your your voice message if you so wish. And if you know us on WhatsApp, you can send us one on there as well.
Are you talking to three people in particular?
No, I'm talking to one who I work with, and I hope he does because he sent us some in the past.
All right, Tom, send us a message.
But yeah, those are the three. If you fancy it, do it.
Cool. Okay, cool. So thank you for listening to Show Me the Podcast, and we will chat to you soon.
Bye. Adios.